Well, good morning. Good to see you. Good to be with you. Let's go to Psalm 62 this morning. We'll get started. His son was just like him, because his son told me that whether I was through or not this morning, he's leaving to go back here to that food. So Psalm 62 and verse 11 says, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. That power belongeth unto God. Father, help us this morning in the few minutes that we have to share, God, what you've laid on our heart. May we be able to get the truth across in such a way that the Holy Spirit of God would use it, Lord, to not only challenge us but change us. Lord, bless this week of meetings has already been prayed. Be honored, glorified. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would all be sensitive to your leadership and just mind you real good. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you about the power of God, and again, I'll try to get this in as quick as I can. You listen fast. The power of God. I love not only the words, but the truth to the song, What a Mighty God We Serve. I like that song, and I love the truth in the song. It says, angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Now, the truth of his might and his power is talked about, it's praised, and is on display throughout the entire Word of God. In Exodus 32:11, Moses attributes the bringing forth of the children of Israel out of Egypt. He attributes that to God's great power and God's mighty hand, he says. And then in 2 Samuel 22, verses 31 through 33, and you can look there with me if you would like, as part of David's song of deliverance, as he was delivered out of the hands of Saul, in chapter 22, verses 31 through 33, he says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Again, he's talking about the power of God. And then in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, you're welcome to look there with me if you would. Let's flip there real quick if you'd like. 1 Chronicles 29, I'm going to look at a few scripture opening up, so please stay with me. In chapter 29, verses 11 and 12, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might. And on thine hand, and in thine hand, it is to make great and to give strength unto all. There, David is offering prayer and he's offering thanksgiving as he rejoices over the offering of the people. In 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 6, don't turn there, but I'll tell you, Jehoshaphat there seeks the Lord concerning the enemies of Ammon and Seir, Moab, and he acknowledges there God's authority. And he acknowledges God's reign, and yes, he acknowledges God's power there. So the scriptures are replete with recognition of and demonstration of and praise to God's power. So much so that David cries out in Psalm 21:13. He says, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. And he says, so will we sing and praise thy power. Now what David is saying there, he's saying, do it, God. Be exalted in thine own strength, and we'll sing about it, and we'll praise you for it. Do it, God. Be exalted in thine own power, and God will take note of it. God will praise you for it, and we'll sing about it. And let me say this morning, God's power should be sung about. And God's power should be praised. You and I ought to celebrate the power of our God. Can you say amen to that? We ought to celebrate the power of our God. God's power is reason for you and I to rejoice this morning. We don't serve a man-made God. And I'm so glad of that today. We don't serve a God that can't talk, that can't hear, that can't see. We don't serve a powerless, weakling kind of God. We don't serve a God who can't. You and I serve a God who can. Can you say amen to that? That's why we had the prayer request this morning. That's why we met at the altar this morning and prayed. Because we know that we serve a God who can. Matter of fact, I love it this way. We serve Almighty God. Amen. We serve Almighty God. What a mighty God we serve this morning. Our God is unlimited in power, and He has ultimate control, not over a few things, not over some things, but listen, He has ultimate control over everything this morning. He absolutely rules. There is no limit to our God's power. Revelation says, for the Lord God omnipotent, which means all powerful, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth this morning. He sits on the throne, amen. He is in control. He has it all under control this morning. In fact, one of the Hebrew names for God is El Shaddai. And I know your preachers probably shared this with you. El meaning God, and Shaddai meaning Almighty, Almighty God. Another word for Almighty is omnipotent. He's all powerful. Can I say to you this morning, God can do anything. And let me add this behind that. Not only can God do anything, God can do anything and everything effortlessly. I love what one writer said. He said, God can make a universe as easily as He can make a butterfly. Because God can do anything, and God can do it effortlessly. And His power never ever decreases. Isaiah says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Now we get tired, but God never gets tired. Amen. We go to sleep, God never goes to sleep. He giveth power to the faint, Isaiah says, and to them that have no might, He increaseth their strength. Verse 31, a familiar verse of mine. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, He says. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hey, listen, His power never ever diminishes. It never runs out. Hey, He never gets tired. He never gets weak. But not only does His power never lessen or never run out, but He will continue to supply His power and His strength to all of those who are willing to wait on Him. He'll give us power. He'll give us strength. He really is an all-powerful God. Say amen. He is the source and He is the resource. Now note, not only does He have all power, but He has all authority to use it. Nobody reigns over our God. Nobody. I mean, He's second to no one. He reigneth this morning. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. There's none above Him. And so, listen, He has all power and He has the authority to use it. The psalmist says this, but our God is in the heavens. Now listen to what he says. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. And He can do that because He's God. Amen. And nobody can stop that. Nobody can disrupt that. He hath done whatsoever He pleased. As a matter of fact, the answer to the question, why did God do that? And you've asked that question yourself, and others have asked that question of you, and I can tell you the simplest and most correct answer is because He wanted to. Because He wanted to. We can speculate all we want, and we can philosophize, and we can discuss, but at the end of the discussion, we wind up at the same place. God did it because God wanted to, because He had done whatsoever He pleased. And not to bog you down, not to confuse you, but just simply to give you a Bible and move on. According to Scripture, God hardeneth the hearts of some, showeth mercy to others in Romans 9:6-21. Why? Because He wanted to. I can't answer all those questions. I leave that to you, Pastor. But because He wanted to. And to any who would question that, Paul answers that and basically says, that's God's business. I mean, we don't have the right to question God in that area. And let me tell you something. The God that holds all power, that reigneth supreme, that uses that power with His own authority and based upon His own will and His own wishes, that God answers to no one. He doesn't have to answer to us this morning for why He does what He does. And we should never question God's power or His use of it. God is in control. Hey, listen. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all of His works. I can't tell you why He does what He does sometimes, but I can tell you He's right in doing it. I can tell you the Bible says He doeth all things well. I may not understand, but I don't have to understand. His ways are beyond my ways. They're past finding out. Hey, listen, we serve a mighty God. Amen. We serve an awesome God this morning. We can trust that whatever He does, it's always right, and it's always best, and it's always with plan, and it's always with purpose, and our God is a God of process, and God's always up to something. Amen. His power is seen in creation. In Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the universe, the galaxies, all of space, all of it. Our God, the one that we're here hopefully worshiping this morning, the one that we're here talking about this morning, the one that we're going to be singing about in a little bit, our God created all of that. I think I pulled this over into the Sunday school lesson that I did here last time I was here. But it actually goes with this message that I'm preaching this morning. Allow me to read this to you if you would. In the book entitled, Let the Nations Be Glad, we are given some mind-shattering, if we really try to comprehend it, information that illustrates the power of our God. And listen to this. Scientists know, and I'm reading from that book, scientists know that light travels at the speed of 5.87 trillion miles a year. 5.87 trillion miles a year. They also know that the galaxy of which our solar system is a part is about 100,000 light years in diameter. About 587,000 trillion miles. Now, I can't really comprehend that, but I can tell you that's a long way. 587,000 trillion miles. It is one of about 1 million such galaxies in the optical range of our most powerful telescopes. In other words, they know that. They've been able to look out there and see that. It has been estimated that in our galaxy, there are more than 200 billion stars. The sun, by the way, he named them all. It has been established that in our galaxy, more than 200 billion stars. The sun is one of them, a modest star burning at about 6,000 degrees centigrade on the surface and traveling in an orbit at 135 miles per second. Which means, now get this, which means it'll take about 250 million years to complete a revolution around the galaxy. Now listen to what the writer says. Scientists know these things, and they are awed by them. As a matter of fact, can I tell you something? And I'm going to interrupt this and say this. I was talking to a physicist a few weeks ago. And he said, Jerry, we've discovered there are, we now know there are 2,600 Earth-like planets out there, like Earth. He said, but not a single one of them supports life. He said, I'm going to tell you what I believe. He said, I think we're real close to scientists having to admit there was a creator. Real close. Now, I'm glad we're already beyond that. We know, amen. But scientists know these things and are awed by them. Now, listen to what the writer says. And they say, if there is a personal God, as the Christians say, who spoke this universe into being, then there is a certain respect and reverence and wonder and dread that would have to come through when we Christians talk about Him and when we worship Him. Now, can I tell you what that does? That indicts and convicts you and I. He's saying they understand the vastness of all of this. They understand how ginormous all of this is. And if our God spoke all of that into existence, and He did, amen, then He's saying there ought to be a little bit more worship on our part. We ought to be a little more awed by that. We ought to be a little more intrigued by that. We ought to be a little more stirred about that. We ought to be able to get a little bit more excited when we talk about this God that did all of that. You know what He's saying? Hey, they know that if we're right, of course we know we are, but they know if we're right, hey, what a mighty God we serve. What an awesome God we serve, amen. He's absolutely worthy of all of our trust. He's worthy of all of our confidence. And He's definitely worthy of our worship. God just spoke, and it was all made. As the Hebrew writer tells us, listen, he spoke it out of nothing, and it became something. God's power not only created this universe, but God's power sustains it, holds it together. He keeps it all running just right. Colossians says, by Him all things consist. They are held together, it means. If God was not directing this whole thing, it would be total and complete chaos. It would be flung out into oblivion, and it would be disastrous. If our all-powerful God was not holding it together. Now, come on down a little bit more where we live. Can I tell you that that power, God's power, was also demonstrated at the cross. Satan was conquered at the cross. Death was defeated at the cross. The penalty of sin was taken care of, paid in full at the cross. Death, hell, and the grave were overcome at the cross. So much so that Jesus can say, listen, because I live, you shall live also. He conquered it. That's why Paul can say, by God, that the power is the power, the gospel is the power of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is that. To everyone that believeth. By salvation, God powerfully made each of us a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, right? So He powerfully, by the gospel, made every one of us that are born again a new creature. Philippians 1:6, He will finish the work that He hath begun by His power, amen. He which hath begun a good work in us will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. Hebrews says He is the author and the finisher of our faith. God will finish what He started, amen. He'll finish what He started. Peter says we are kept by the power of God. This same power that spoke all of that into existence is the power that keeps you and I in the family of God. He saves us by His power, and He keeps us by His power, and He also empowers us to live as children of God, because the Bible says we are complete in Him. Let me tell you this morning, when you got saved, you got everything that you needed to live the Christian life. You don't need a second blessing. You are complete in Him. Amen. You got everything you need. We see His power in the resurrection. One of these days, He's going to resurrect every human being that has ever lived. The righteous will be raised to eternal life. The lost will be raised to eternal damnation. Both John 5 and Revelation 20 make that very plain. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, the inspired writer, says, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus Christ shall raise up us also by Jesus." How? By His power. He's the one that's going to do it. Just as Christ was called forth from the grave, you and I, if we die, will one day be called forth from the grave. Billions of people will one day be resurrected by God. I say, what power. Amen. Psalm 33 is a psalm of praise to God for His power and His sovereignty. And you get a chance, for sake of time, I can't, but go to verses 6 through 9 and read those verses. Now, all of this begs the question, and I'm just going to run through these. What effect should God's power have on us? What effect should God's power have on us? And the answer is simply put, or I would say summarized or summed up, by saying this: relying on God's power should give us confidence to live life. Confidence to live life. It should affect us in every area of life. And I'm just going to run through a few quickly. Number one, it should give us confidence in our worship. In 2 Kings 17, we find these words: "But the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, Him shall you fear and Him shall you worship and Him shall you do sacrifice." Now, that was God's advice to, or command, I might say, to Israel, but it should be heeded by you and I today. God is God alone. Amen. He is Almighty God. He is worthy of our worship. His power should bolster our confidence this morning, even in worship. And summed up, what the writer was saying there in Kings, and what I would say is this: you got the right God, now worship Him. Amen. You've got the right God. There's none greater. There's none more powerful. We're here because of Him. We'll one day stand before Him. You've got the right God, now worship Him. Amen. Secondly, understanding His power should give us confidence every day in life. As a matter of fact, Philippians 4:13 should become more real to you. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Ephesians says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Guess who's in us? There's your power. There's your power. Almighty God dwells within you. It should give us confidence in our eternity. It was His power that saved us. The gospel, the power of God unto salvation, His power that saved us. It's His power that keeps us. It's His power that will raise us up at the last day. That's the great hope of the Christian. Amen. That's the great hope of the Christian. No matter what happens to us here, our eternal destiny is secure. Number four, we should have confidence not to worry, but rather to trust, because His power is greater than any trouble or any circumstance or any situation that we might find ourselves in. The psalmist says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth, he said. All those things we just read about all this that God made, that's where our help comes from. That's where our help comes from. Can I tell you, he has the power to handle any situation that we as his children find ourselves in. He created everything, and he certainly can handle our trouble. Amen. It should give us spiritual victory. When the enemy comes your way, you rest in God's power. Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. His might? All power. All power. God will bring about the victory because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Finally, and I'll close with this. Understanding God's power brings about humility. Brings about humility. 1 Peter 5 and 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. One of the things that God's might should bring into our life is humility. Because we are reminded that we're nothing. Oh, but listen. He reigneth supreme. He holds all power. When I read those stats, and I have many more I could have brought into that, but when I read that information, not stats, that information, it kind of causes me to rethink just how small Red Level, Alabama is and how small I am in Red Level, Alabama. In the whole scheme of things. Without him, we can do nothing. I ask you this and I'm finished. Could we today and for the next few services this week praise God for his power? Could we do that? It brings a confidence to our life. Let's praise him. I'm glad I'm not in control, and I mean that. The older I get, the less I realize I know. The more I miss having a daddy ahead of me that I thought he knew everything and I could just ask him and trust him. Well, that daddy's with my Heavenly Father, but I do have him that I can ask and trust. Could we just thank him for the confidence that his power brings to us? Elihu, let me read this, in Job says, touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He's excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. What a mighty God we serve. And I hope that this morning and tonight and Monday night, Tuesday night,